All right, I think I got everything is turned on, right? Check with the boss. Genesis 20. We're going to see this chapter is kind of a short chapter. But it is kind of an interesting chapter to maybe, I don't have near as many notes written down in my Bible on this chapter. You think, well, we could read right past it, but we as Christians need to realize that, you know what? The Bible does say a just man does what? He falleth down seven times and riseth up again. A just man. I mean, a righteous man, a saved man. Even a man like Abraham. And you say, well, I am so sick of falling down at the same thing every time. I can't learn my lesson. Guess what? You're not alone. Abraham had the same problem. Abraham, we're going to see Abraham had the same problem all the way from the first time God called him. Let's just go ahead and read. It's a shorter chapter. We'll read all the way through it and then we'll come back. In verse 1, and I remember what just happened. I showed you that picture. Abraham was just standing on the place where he prayed to the Lord every day, and he saw the flames that looked like a furnace towards Sodom. He knew what had happened. He knew it had been demolished. He knew the fire, and he was just praying probably that Lot had been saved. But he knew that the cities had not been, because you're obviously looking at a mushroom cloud out there or something. Something terrible, whatever it was, he saw that. And that's where we end. The end of the chapter before is where Lot has an incestuous relationship. And we need to remember those names. His son named Moab and a son named Ammon. And those two are going to plague Israel their entire existence. And they're still plaguing Israel. And so we see that they're not direct descendants of Abraham, but they're cousins. And so there's so many decisions made in life. And anyway, I don't want to go back and re-preach looking towards Sodom. But here's Abraham. Now remember in the prior chapters where he went down into Egypt, God did not send him there. While he was down in Egypt, he did not build an altar. He just went down there and told some lies and almost messed up and lost his wife and messed up the Egyptians. They suffered because of his lying and being out of God's will. So here we have him. God's brought him back. God's blessing him. And after looking at Lot and looking at Sodom, he knows God's a real God. In verse 1, it says, Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur in the southern and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of his wife, Sarah his wife, she is my sister. We heard that before, haven't we? She's my sister. We're going to get to that in a minute, but have you ever told a half-truth? What's a half-truth? It's a half-lie too, isn't it? It's a half-untruth, isn't it? Here's Abraham. He says, she's my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Now, I want you to remember, think about this. Sarah is between 89 and 90 years old right here. She must have been a good-looking elderly woman for the king to want. I mean, Pharaoh wanted her. Abimelech wanted her. 89 to 90 years old. This is somewhere around the time that she's going to conceive Isaac. A pretty important thing to think about. God protects his promises. But God came to Abimelech in a dream that by night and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. And Abimelech had not come near to her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against who? Abraham? And he says, listen, I kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, suffered I thee to not touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. And he said, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die. Thou and all that are thine. Disobey me, there's consequences. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all the servants, told all things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, it sounded like Pharaoh, what hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and my kingdom a great sin, that thou hast done deeds unto me that thou ought not have done? He's taking a scolding. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, But what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely, the fear of God. No, listen, don't prejudge people. And don't prejudge a situation. Abraham said, because I thought that the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And here's the half-truth that Abram continually told. And yet, indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. Now, he's justifying his half-truth, but still half-truth. Sarah literally was Abram's sister. She was his half-sister. So he didn't really... lie all the way to Pharaoh, did he? I mean, she is his sister. He just didn't embellish on the truth. He just kind of withheld a little bit of the truth. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness, which thou shalt show unto me. So he's telling his wife this. But when they left Ur of the Chaldees, at every place whither we shall come, say, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen. I mean, he took God's promise seriously. Took sheep and oxen and men servant and women servant, and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes, and unto all that are with thee, and with all other. Thus she was reproved. He scolded her a little bit too. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservant, and they bare children. So we see that, again, the similar thing he did to Pharaoh, he made them unable. Now he's opening the wombs and he's allowing Abimelech again to father children. And the last verse says, and for the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. You know, one of my life verses for 2 Thessalonians 5:24, it says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. In other words, if God's called you to do something, you quit worrying about the details. God will take care of the details. If God's called you to do right, you just do right. So, well, but you don't understand the situation around doing right. I don't need to know it. Neither do you. If God said go right, you go right. If he said go left, no, he never says go left. He never says the other left. Anyway, that's political. God said do right. God says here's the word of God, thus saith the Lord. And he doesn't say unless. He says thus saith the Lord. And here's Abraham. He's continually making a mistake here. And rather than trusting God, now listen, he knows God called him out of the Ur of Chaldees and he obeyed. He left all his political ambitions and all of whatever, his friends behind, and he moved from the Ur of the Chaldees up to Haran, sat there until his dad died, and then he came south when God called him. So you trust God in that. You trust God in your salvation. If you don't, you need to get that straight today. But listen, if you've trusted God with eternity, we're talking about eternity, not 70 or 80 or 90 years. You're trusting God with eternity, but you don't trust Him with your kids or your grandkids. I trust Him with eternity. I trust You to keep me out of the fire of hell, Lord, but I don't know if You can pay my bills this month. Isn't that silly? It's kind of goofy. Here's Abraham. He's doing the same thing. Look, you're not any different, Abraham. Abraham did the same thing. He's not trusting God in this one area. Now listen, I trust You to move halfway around the known world, but I won't trust You to protect me and my wife and our relationship. We need to remember that. God can take care of it. Faithful is He that calleth you who also will do it. If He called you to it, He's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of the little details. We know He did the same thing in Egypt. And here we have listed in Hebrews 11, a hero of the faith. And you know what he's in? And this is important, listen. A hero of the faith is at risk of turning a sinful act into a sinful habit. There is a difference. Even Abimelech, There are sins of innocency, but they're still sin. Listen, a sin of innocency would be, oh, Lord, I wasn't thinking, and the Lord reprimands me, and the Holy Spirit convicts me, and I'm like, Lord, I was wrong. God, forgive me. Now that's solved, right? Under the blood, it's taken care of. But listen, if I don't get that right with God, I know, Holy Spirit. I know that was wrong. You kind of caught me off guard. I'll try to do better next time. That's not called repentance. And guess what you're in danger of? Doing it again and again. And I got away with it, so I'll do it maybe in this area of my life and this area. And I'll just cut, and it spreads. And it becomes now, listen, I've got kind of used to doing it this way, Lord. It doesn't matter if it's a habit, it's a habit. If we do not get things right with God, we can take one sinful act and turn it into a sinful habit. A sinful act, shame on us, get it right with God. But a sinful habit is something we're doing over and over and over and over and knowing it's wrong. There never was repentance or we would have been done with it. Repentance means turn my back to it and walk away. And just leave it behind me under the blood and don't go back to it. But here we have Abram. He's thinking, well, I know I need to help God out here. Listen, God doesn't need your help to fulfill His promises. I think we kind of learned that with Hagar and Ishmael. Well, we just help God out here. Listen, God doesn't need your help, Abraham or Dennis. Abimelech, he is a healthy, successful king, and he's suffering innocently because of this half-truth. And I wonder how many around us suffer because we're not completely upfront and honest with people about everything. They don't need to know about that. Listen, I don't need to drag my dirty laundry. You don't need to drag your dirty laundry through. But listen, there are some things we ought to be upfront with people about. We ought to be honest with them about. He had unknowingly taken a married woman into his harem. Now, you think about this. This is the king of the community, but he's going to take an 80 or 90-year-old lady into his harem. I'm just thinking, humanly, that's a little different. Why would he do this? One, I'm telling you why he did it. Two reasons. I believe God had already fulfilled His promise, like He said in a few chapters before, and He had restored Sarah back to child-rearing abilities. And she must have been a beautiful 90-year-old woman and capable of having children. One, okay, so she's a beautiful woman at 90. Two, Abraham's a very wealthy man. And who do you want to be partners with? I want a very wealthy man. They intermarried families, one, so they wouldn't go to war against each other, made them instant allies. And so he's innocently thinking, I'm going to become an ally with Abraham. I'm going to marry his sister, and now he'll never go against me, and his wealth and my wealth and our grandchildren and relatives are going to be rich, rich, rich. He's innocently thinking. But listen, here's a sin of ignorance. I mean, it would have been a terrible act, a sin of adultery, had God not struck him and his whole household with the inability. But sin of ignorance is still sin. It's still sin. God's mercy protected Abimelech from doing a worse sin. Taking Abraham's wife was a sin, and he didn't even know it. But I'm telling you what, when God points it out, you better pay attention. When God pointed it out to Abimelech, he said, oh, time out, Lord. I didn't know, and I will do whatever you say to fix this. Whatever it takes, I'm going to straighten this out. God never told Abimelech to give Abraham sheep and oxen, men servants, maid servants, and 1,000 pieces of silver. He says, listen, God, I to show you that I'm right with you, I'm going to go above and beyond what you've asked for me to do. I'm going to go one step farther than you've asked me to do. I wonder how many times we do that in our Christian walk. I would do just what God says. But what seems like judgment, God's mercy protected Abimelech. But what seems like judgment in our lives, sometimes is protection from us committing a sin or a worse sin. You know, the verses, I believe it's in Matthew, where, you know, talking about a father loving his son, and you love your son, so you don't give him a serpent, you give him bread. Instead of a rock, you give him bread. Instead of, you know what I'm saying? But you know why the father is the one that makes the decision? Because the son's too dumb to know the difference. I mean, I'm just being honest. Sometimes you and I are asking, listen, we're asking for the serpent. As God's children, we're asking for the serpent. We're asking him for the rock. But as loving father, he says, I love you too much. I know that you don't know any better. I'm not going to give you the serpent. So you see, sometimes what seems like judgment, well, God's judging me. He's not giving me what I want. Now, he might be saving you from the serpent or the rock. I don't know how many of you have ever bit into a rock, but it ain't good on your teeth. I'm glad God loves me. He even protects my teeth. The lack of success in a business may be to protect you from others. The lack of success in a friendship that you think is a perfect match made in heaven may be God protecting you from a greater sin. Say, but Lord, they're my friend, and I want to be closer to them, and I want this and that. You know, Lord knows what your associations are. And the Lord knows some of those associations would lead you down a path that God does not want you to go down. You say, but Lord, we're friends, we're Christians. But you don't know, they may be headed into the path of destruction, and God says, listen, I love you too much to let you go down that road. What seems like judgment may be God's mercy blessing us. That's something, isn't it? It saved Abimelech. See, well, God's ways are not our ways, the Bible says. So I don't understand what you're doing here, God. That's okay. You don't need to understand. You need to trust God. I mean, remember, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Abimelech had good intentions, and they were still sin. He was still fixing to commit a horrible sin, and he had the best of intentions. Hey, this is a good business deal. She's a beautiful woman. I mean, where's the sin? She's not a married woman. It's not like he was thinking, I'm going to go out and commit adultery today. I'm going to go out and take another man's wife today. That's not what he was thinking. He is thinking purely innocent, maybe, business thoughts. And God said, listen, I'm going to protect you from yourself. Oh, man. What is the saying? Lord, help me from my stupid self. Oh, my stupid self gets me in more trouble. I need the Lord to protect me from myself making goofy decisions. Abimelech, his good intentions were still sin. Sin is a poison. Regardless of the reason you take poison, it still kills you. Regardless of the best of intentions, you know what that is. The best of intentions. Anyway. You can drink poison with the best of intentions, and it's still going to have the same effect as if you have bad intentions. There's no good justification for sin. I mean, Abimelech could have said, "Listen, Lord, he said, now I'm going to keep her as my wife and I'm going into her tonight. And Lord, he said, so because of that, I'm doing it. Because I have the right, I married her, and I had the best of intentions." Listen, that's like somebody today saying, "Well, you know, having a baby would hurt my career. And having a baby is not really fitting to my schedule right now. So, Lord, you'll understand this abortion, won't you?" No, God doesn't understand murder. There, I said, "Well, I had a Christian woman tell me, well, you know, there's cases of incest and rape, and those babies now we need to kill." Really? Who made you God? Who made you God? Hallelujah for Jesus. And God, I think they're still God's children, don't you? And I think God's big enough to take care of that. And I've seen the testimony of women who were children of rape victims who are praising God and serving God, aren't you? And they're so glad their mama didn't have an abortion. And what are we killing? 50 million plus? How many great doctors and scientists and preachers have we put to death and justified our sin? It's still poison. It kills anything in its vicinity. Just ask Sodom. You know what the Bible said? We read it just a couple of weeks ago. It said all the wildlife, the vegetation. I showed you pictures of what the Dead Sea looks like. That just being in the vicinity of that kind of sin destroys completely. I mean, everything around Sodom got destroyed. So poison is poison. And there is no good justification for poison. And I thought of this illustration that if you go up into the mountains and you don't know what you're looking for, and you pick a toadstool to eat, you may get high or you may die. And 1 out of 10, you might get nourishment. But some of them are going to send you in hallucinations, and some of them will kill you deader than a rock. So even though I'm just trying to eat, Lord, listen, you better know what you're eating first. So, well, I'm going out into the world tomorrow with best of intentions. You better go with God first. You better go with the Word of God and let the Word of God tell you. There's the best of your intentions without God and without the Word of God, you are going to end up like Abimelech. I mean, if you this morning don't believe in hell, it does not make it 1 degree cooler. You could say, well, that's just harsh. The truth is harsh sometimes. The best of intentions, there's going to be a lot of people with the best of intentions burning in the lake of fire one day. Do you know that? A lot of people who called the name of Christ theirs are going to burn in hell one day. So Abraham, what was his sin? Now let's get to this part. What is this sin? I mean, Abraham mistakenly assumed that Abimelech was a wicked man. I mean, well, you know, I just figured that you don't worship the same God I do. Really? Well, Melchizedek's not very far away from Abimelech. They might have known each other. Abimelech might have worshiped the one true God. I don't know. We know they weren't too far apart from Melchizedek, who worshiped the one true God. And so Abraham, you think you're the only one that's got the truth. And you're going to go into this land thinking, well, you know, everybody else is against me. Look, don't go to work tomorrow thinking everybody's against you. There might be a God-fearing believer in there, and you've just ostracized them. We ought to not prejudge people before we know them. Listen, Abimelech prejudged the whole region. Went to this whole region. He says, I just figured you didn't know God, so I did a sinful act, and I'm going to justify it by assuming that you don't know God. Well, wouldn't that be terrible to do tomorrow? To go around somebody that we could hurt, innocently hurt, because we just assumed they don't know God. So we ought not make rash judgments because we're going to hurt somebody. Only God knows the intent of a man's heart. And I tell you what, don't assume, because you don't know what the heart of man is. I mean, I know the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked, and it is. But you don't know whether the Holy Spirit is indwelling that individual, or the Holy Spirit's convicting that individual, and the Holy Spirit's moving that individual. Let's not go and assume and ostracize somebody from our church or from our relationships. Don't assume God can't work through a certain person's life. Well, you know what that guy used to be like. Yep. You know how many people can say that about me? Whole lot of people would be shocked to know I preach. And I'm ashamed of that. You don't know what God can do with somebody's life. Well, they this or they that. Listen, if God gets a hold of their life, God can change them. God can use them. So don't think that God can't work through somebody else's life, because God can. Just because they're not like you or look like you all the time does not mean God cannot use them. And don't assume that God cannot work in any situation. Say, well, you know, it's in this area down here south. That's Abimelech's land. You're just assuming because you went down to Abimelech's land, God can't you be used down there? That God doesn't use Abimelech? You know, God, I mean, I know this had to be a kind of a scary dream, but Abimelech woke up pretty quickly and obeyed God. And then went one step farther. And here Abraham was assuming that this man could not be used by God, that this man did not know the one true God, and that this man would never be obedient to the one true God. So he assumed all those things and committed a horrible sin. And then almost made that man commit a horrible sin. We see assuming can get us in a lot of trouble. I mean, here God worked in that situation, and I'm going to promise you this. Whatever situation you're around tomorrow that's questionable, you don't know the whole story. You don't know what that person's going through at home. You don't know what that person's been through for the last month, year, lifetime. You don't know what their physical problems are. You don't know what their marital problems are, their financial situations are. And we go in there and we judge so quickly, like Abraham. We could cause them to sin. Wouldn't that be something? What if somebody didn't come to church ever again because of me? What if they never darkened the door, never heard the gospel because of my testimony, assuming, well, you're a lost person. I can't. Talk to you about godly things. Listen, we ought to talk about godly things to everybody. We ought to talk about Christ ought to be seen through us daily, regularly. We shouldn't have to go up and say, convince somebody, like, really, I am a Christian. I promise I'm a Christian. I went to church Sunday and everything. I shouldn't have to go convince anybody I'm a Christian. They ought to know it. They ought to see it. They ought to be able to say, what do you have that I don't? I need that what you have. But yeah, I could go in there and assume, well, God can't save that dirty, rotten sinner because, you know, they're a drug addict or a drug dealer or they're a whoremonger or they're whatever. Well, you know, God can't use me to lead them to Christ because look how wicked they are and look how righteous I am. That's assuming some things that could cause somebody to sin in ignorance and go to hell. I'd have never assumed God cannot use even me. You or you. You ought to say, well, I'm not the preacher. Listen, that don't matter. The preacher's, he can't reach everybody. That's your job. Don't assume God cannot use you. And then we'll close. God may intervene when you least expect it. God may step in and you go, wow, Lord, you mean you were really paying attention to me? You mean you really had, you knew what was going on all along? Well, glory be. I'm glad I've got a holy God. Come on. We got a real God who created the world by the words of his mouth. I think he can take care, intervene in my problem and take care of it completely and purely satisfactory to me and my walk with him. God is, let's not forget how big God is. All right, let's close there. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to not assume anything. Help us to not cause others to sin by our assumptions, by our lack of faith in you, and trusting that you are in complete and 100% control and you know exactly what's going on. Help us not to make an assumption that would keep somebody from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us not to use an assumption to offend a brother. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us the next hour. I pray you'd be with my back, Lord, as I preach. I pray you'd be with the congregation and we'd have open and receptive ears. Pray that your will would be done in our hearts today in your house. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.